changed because of your great love. You lived, you died, you said in 3 days you would rise. You did, you're alive. You rule, you reign, you said you're coming back again. I know that you will, all the earth will sing your praises. All the earth will sing your praises.
Yes! They will. Sing us out. You took our sins away.
You took, you take our sins. Because of your great love. You lived, you died, you said in 3 days you would rise. You did, you're alive. You rule, you reign, you said you're coming back again. I know you will. All the earth will sing your praises. You lived, you died, you said in 3 days you would rise. You did, you're coming back again. I know that you will. All the earth will sing your praises. You lived, you died, you said in 3 days you would rise. You did, you're alive. You rule, you reign, you said you're coming back again. I know that you will. All the earth will sing your praises.
Yes, they will.
All the earth will sing your praises.
All the earth will sing
your praises. All the earth will sing your praises. All the earth will sing your praises.
As we continue our worship, go ahead and remain standing and greet one another this morning.
Worthy to be praised.
Go pelo jwa go ye bo sanghahle ke gore le ga a tshile a ile mo di tshweming e ke no dula ke tshogile
ke ba zo pelo ba go pela go se go sa loga go se
bona ga a tla gore mo a thama go tla mo go soganeng a tla tshentsha mo monaganong go tshentsha ga mo monaganong mo le nna ka ba ka thama go mokelela gore ngwane le nna ka tambalaya
wa go no lwala a o hoga metjoko mabake before ke fihlela lengwa ga 23 ke nya ka go ikhotsa ke ne le dilo tsa tharo then sa mathomo ke fridge sa bedi ke sithunya sa boraro ke koloi sa mathomo ke le ka go tsa sithunya magwa ba no tsala etela ka mo diphororong ka mo ka site ya ga kwa ka seta ka mo dipegeng ka fihlela ke swedi jene ka se hweja then once ke swetsa ka sjia ka se swara ka se lebella ka kushaura then sa mathomo ke swedi jene ka no kushaura ke hwedi je sona then go tlo ba bonolo gore ke hwetse dilo je ding tshe ke lengi dinyaka
ile ke tlo tshela matla ka ona go a bolela go a go le a utswe tsa mafoko
then wa ba le batho ba ile gore be ba le dile merwalwe ba ile gore be ba shetse ka mo dipegeng ka ba khala phate ka re ka mo ka re a utswa then e mongwe a thoma a chika-chika ka mo ka motia ka yona ke itse go swara ba a lemoga ba mpona go a ba le go a le lengwe le le mponang then ka se swara ka mo lebelela then ka nagana kgopolong ya ka gore ke nyaka go fetsa ka ena once ke se swara ke fitlhe ke swantse gore ke re ke a thuntšha then a go a ba ise ka baka la gore go be gona mathomo ke swara sethunya na ge re tse re sa tle kgole re no bona filimi engwe kgolo re ntse re batamela re fitlha re hwetsa ba bogetse filimi ya Morena Jesu then go a fitlhela mo e leng gore re ba gausi gausi kudu le yona then re sa emenyana ba tse ba tswela pele ka go bitsa then ka thagoga nna ka bašia then ka ya ka matlhong ba rapela le rena ba rapela le rena ka ineela morago ga ge ke sekologile tabe a sange ka e dira sephiri ke ile ka etsebiša batho gore ke sekologile ke phološitswe ke amogetse Jesu then badudi ba khotse ba gelane a sanga ya no ba bonolo gona gore ba dumele seo
ka re o sa le o thomana go kona go phološelwa ja ile re ile kwa taung a ke sa ke bona o tla di go itse ntho sa e kerekeng
emba se ke se boneng ke be ka re go bona a tsene ka mo kerekeng ka o thoma go bona bophelo jwa gago bo tšhentšhe
gana jano a le ka mo kerekeng ene ke thabile ka kudu-kudu ga a sa dira jele wa di diragalele ka moka ene wa laetsa gore o sekologile
ke tlo di gira ga mbeke ya khona go bona ra zo motho wa rresha yo o dine
ba fihlela o ke joina ng se hlopha sa go tsamaisha e fanye di katsela ya filimi ke nche ke tshwala pele re sepedisha e fanyedi then go a fihlela nako mo ba reng ke sware kereke go ba phuthego a matokomane
le nna ka go thoma go bona gore no le ba ba ino ba swana le ena go ba le ba ba swana le ena ka sebaka se ba ne le tokelo gore ba ka ya ka mo kerekeng
bana ke re modimo wa go thuso o se kwa boele morago o tswele pele ka o dumele
tlhologelo ya ke kgolo ke ya gore ke ipone ka le lengwe la matšatši ke ile sekolong sa boruti then NTC ke tlhologelo ya kgolo kudu
Did you notice how the priorities changed in his life when he came in contact with Jesus? That's what Jesus does in all lives, whether it's in a third world country or whether it's right here in our country. Priorities change when Jesus comes to live in hearts and lives. That's what the church is all about. That's why we're here today. That's why we've gathered together, is to tell others about Jesus Christ. I'd like to have our ushers come at this time to receive our weekly tithes and offerings.
Morning, and part of that worship is giving. And we pray, Lord, as we give a portion of what you bless us with so abundantly that it might bless others abundantly. We just pray, Lord, now as we give, that your kingdom might be furthered. And these things we pray in Christ's name, this woman. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, last verse is a very powerful statement. I pray that as we come into God's house, I don't know how it affects you, but my concern sometimes is that when we sing songs that we're really familiar with, we sing them out of memory. Not a bad thing, but much better to sing out of commitment. To sing the words of that last verse in particular. And to say, everything I've ever thought about, everything I ever hoped for, everything I believe that God has given me the potential to be or to achieve, I basically just surrender all that into His hands. And if He wants to do something with me totally different, He wants to put me in a different place, I'm open to that. And that's where we've got to be. And I've run into people before who loved Jesus and wanted their sins forgiven. They wanted to make heaven and miss hell. But they really weren't too into being totally committed to where God could do anything, anywhere, anytime with them. They had their own plans and agendas. And the truth of this thing is, real success in Christianity is losing ourselves in the Lord to find everything. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? His plans are the best plans. Those are the plans that we need to follow today. We want to be mindful of those items that are within our bulletin. There's a new item there this morning that I want you to note. John Williams, who is Peter's dad, and they used to attend here several years ago, the whole family. John has been hospitalized in Neosho, and so Peter called me this week, and they're trying to still work. They've got situations, they've got court orders to deal with for family visitations and things. That's why they haven't been here. They have to go to Neosho every Sunday to meet a time schedule, and the other party has not been responding, but they still have to go anyway. They've tried to talk through child services and some things. So pray for Peter and for Kelsey, and they're trying to get their lives together. That's why we exist. It's not about meeting the obligations and checking off I paid my tithe and I attended church and I sang in the service. It's about making the difference in people's lives, helping them to connect with God so that they know that life can be different, life can be better. And indeed, we celebrate today. I got a text this morning from someone who had to work today and couldn't be here. But they told me that they have a friend, and of course these things can always fall through, but they have invited a friend that's supposed to be coming for the first time to their small group tonight. And that means the potential to share the gospel with someone, the potential for someone to connect with Christ. That's why we do this. One for one in one. It's what we're about. It's our pledge to the Lord. It's our goal for the coming year. It's our commitment that each of us is going to go out and try to connect with at least one person in the course of this year and bring them to Christ and possibly into the church. To Christ is far more important. And we celebrate. We have a Ben, I need you to go down there for a minute, if you will. I thought that was a great story on the Mission Moment this morning about Thomas and how his life was changed. He just saw the Jesus film and responded to that. Wouldn't that be great if people in America weren't so gospel hardened, but what they couldn't see that and be so impacted by a man dying for them that they would just move to an altar of prayer? Well, I got an email this morning. Technology is great. You get texts and you get emails and you get them all the time. And before I got into service this morning, when I was in the office during the Sunday school hour praying and finishing preparation, I got this email. And just before Ed and Deborah came to church today, it's good to see Sister Joanne here today. How you doing, Joanne? Back there, we're glad you're with us. We're glad all of you are with us. Well, let me read you this. You remember Brother Kevin was Deborah's first husband who passed away, but he has a brother in Tulsa. This is the message. Kevin's brother's wife in Tulsa is Vietnamese. All she has ever known is Buddhism. recently because of the influence of their son's Baptist church preschool. For all you children's workers, she, the wife, Vietnamese, Buddhist, she got saved. She said, "I have been serving the wrong one. I want to serve Jesus." And she went through the house and threw out all of the Buddhist paraphernalia, and now they're planning her baptism. She said, "I realize that we didn't directly have any influence on that, but it's family in a roundabout way, and somebody got saved." And we're always glad. The angels in heaven rejoice when someone comes to Christ. And so we are thankful for that and excited for that this morning. Thank you, Brother Ben, for helping us. There are a myriad of things. Let's stand together. We're going to sing. The altars are open. If you have need of a place to pray, to lay down a burden, to lift up praise, whatever the case might be, God likes to hear from you. And He wants to wrap His arms of love around you this day and handle whatever is going on in your life and rejoice with you over the good things that are happening. So let's prepare our hearts and then we'll pray together.
Lord, I give
Father, we're blessed people. Man, there's so much we take for granted. Today, Lord Jesus, remind us our salvation came at a price. I know Easter Sunday's only two Sundays past, but how quickly we can fall back into the routines of our life, and how quickly we can forget the excitement of the celebration of the resurrection, and how quickly we can just kind of go back into doing what we do by memory. And Lord, let us today, let this be a new day. Let us have a new and a fresh appreciation for who You are and what You have done for us and what You are doing in our lives. Lord, we're glad to be here. We're here on purpose. Because we want to tell You that we love You, we want to worship You, we want to come together with the family of God, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we want to celebrate the resurrected Jesus. He's alive. What fun it was to sing that song this morning. He's alive. He's not dead. He's not a pile of ash and dust somewhere. He's a living being sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven, interceding for us. We are grateful today, Lord. And it's with grateful hearts that we come. On bended knee and with humbled hearts, we come and say, Lord, we're not worthy. We're undeserving. But You didn't do it because we deserved it. And You didn't do it because we earned it or did something special to say, well, you're going to need some recognition or a reward. You did it because You loved us. We're Your creation. And we fouled up. And so You fixed it. And it's available to anybody and everybody. And Father, we are grateful today that we have accepted You as our personal Savior. We are thankful for Your amazing grace, for the atonement of Your blood sacrifice. There's power in the blood. Man, You're good. You're good to us. There's nothing good about us except You. You're the good in us. But Lord, let that good fill us to overflowing and let it spill out of our lives into the lives of our families. Let it spill into the lives of our friends and let it spill into the lives of strangers that we meet on the street in the course of the day. May the joy of Jesus be contagious. And Father, may our attitude be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And help us, Lord, to walk in Your footsteps. pray that we would remain in you and you would remain in us, that your word would remain in us. Lord, we want to claim the promises. We don't want to be living so far below our privilege, but Lord, we want to put ourselves in a position to be in tune with your spirit, to be open for your power to be channeled through us. Lord, these things that are on our list of requests today, whether it is for physical healing, whether it is financial needs, whether it is emotional needs, psychological things, most of all, spiritual issues. Lord, we pray that this one, we pray that there'll be more than one new one coming to small groups tonight. But Lord, for particular, for this one, may they be blessed. May they sense the power and the presence of God. And Lord, may they be hungry for you. May they desire to start a relationship with you. Lord, for every one of us, as we've celebrated this one, we thank you for this sister-in-law that came to Christ today. Father, we thank you for this great testimony. Jesus is the one true Savior and Lord. You are the true God. Lord, let us not be apologetic, but let us be kind and share it in the spirit of love that you are. Father, we surrender our lives and therefore all of our needs and situations to you this morning. We receive you as Lord and Master. We ask for your Holy Spirit to fill us till we spill over. And help us to go from this place today making a difference in the lives of the world around us. Bless our church. Bless each family and each individual this day, we pray. And we receive it in the name of Jesus. We believe you want good gifts for us, good things. And we just come against Satan and his forces. We pray that the angels of heaven would protect this place and this hour, and that we would be open to whatever you want to say to us and do in us. For it's in Jesus' powerful and precious name we ask it, and all God's people said, Amen.
I was supposed to sing this morning, but after we've practiced at 8:30 and after we've sang throughout this, I don't have a voice left to sing. So I picked a song this morning to play, and it's my testimony. Draw me close, never let me go. That's what I want as my life, draw me close. As I play this, Justin's going to put the words on so you have a little idea of what I'm playing, and I just hope it touches you.
Thank you. was beautiful and timely. I heard Janet didn't realize I had slipped in this morning at end of practice, and I was going to speak to her because I had found out that she had special music this morning. I was kind of get a feel for what she was thinking about that, and she said, "Well, my voice is struggling, but I'm going to play this song." She was telling the others. She wasn't telling me. She was telling the others, and so I kind of snuck up on her and I said, "Hey, that sounds good," because I want to preach this morning from Hebrews chapter 2 and 2 Chronicles 15. Let me just read to you right quick Hebrews 2:1, and then I'm going to refer to 2 Chronicles 15:4, and then we're going to stay in that chapter this morning. But Janet was talking about this chorus, "Draw Me Close to You." Okay, here's the verse that, and I couldn't figure out why God tagged this verse. I was reading in this chapter, and I planned to preach on this chapter, but God kept taking me back to this verse. And it's like, how am I going to attach that verse to this message? And then it began to make sense to me. But indeed, this is the scripture, one of the scripture texts this morning, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. "Draw me close to you." Now, that's what we're thinking here. We're thinking about that theme that God laid on Janet's heart. "We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away." Draw me close to you. Lord, don't let me drift away. There are some fishermen in this congregation. Or maybe I should say there's some people who like to fish in this congregation. I'm not sure how you qualify what the definition of fisherman is to you. I think fishermen are people who actually can catch and know how to do that and where to do that and those kind of things. I'm one of those guys who likes to fish. I just don't have a clue where to go. You know, give me a rod and a reel and let me throw something in the water and I'm cool. You know. But I heard somebody say that catching was more fun than fishing. They wanted to be a catcherman. But anyway, anybody who's ever been on a boat in the water without an anchor, without a specific motor driving them in a particular direction, who's just kind of parked and not paying attention, can understand that with the tides and with the currents, that it's possible to park in a spot, and if you don't anchor and you're not paying attention, in a few minutes or hours, you won't be in that same spot. Because by not paying attention to certain things, that the current and the tide will move you. I believe that God wants us to get where we are with intention and on purpose. I don't believe anybody gets anywhere spiritually by accident. I believe we have to pay attention. That's what the verse says to us. We have to listen to what we've heard from the Word, what God has said to us. And so the question this morning is, anchored or adrift? And the chapter that I want to share with you this morning, and the text that I want to use, is indeed out of 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 4. Now, some people can drift a little ways and it doesn't bother them, and some people can be fishing and they can drift a little ways and it doesn't bother them, but I've heard stories. I've never been in this experience. Pastor Don, I don't know if you've been in this experience or not, but people, I've heard stories of people drifting in a boat because they weren't anchored, and then they would begin to hear the roar of water, which means a waterfall or white water of some kind. Could mean big rocks, lots of foam, heavy current. Could mean death, destruction. Not very many good scenarios there. But here's the promise in this chapter, 2 Chronicles 15:4. "But in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought Him, and He was found by them." Now, part of the problem when you're a kid playing hide and seek is you don't know if you're going to find. You hope to find. You think you can find. But you don't know if you're going to find. But the promise of the Word to us this morning is that when we seek God, that we'll find him. He is the anchor. He is the one that we want to attach ourselves to. And I just wonder today, how many of us have ever experienced spiritual drift? Everyday busyness of life, the distractions of situations and circumstances, sometimes giving a laxness to spiritual disciplines. How many of us have ever found ourselves in a place in our Christian walk where we were not as close to God as we were at some other point in our life? You ever experienced that? I got to tell you that I have. I wish I couldn't say that. I wish I could testify. No, that's never happened to me. But it has. And I believe that in this chapter this morning, there are some things to help us with understanding what needs to happen to keep us from being adrift, to keep us from falling away, to keep us from waking up and realizing, man, I don't feel very, very close to God today. I don't know if God's even listening to me. I don't know where I'm at, or maybe just feeling like my prayers are hitting the ceiling and not getting anywhere and not understanding all the reasons. But let me read you this. We're going to read the entire chapter together. It's 19 verses, but the story is in here. And so we're going to give that to you in just a moment. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, son of Oded. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him." The Lord is with you when you are with him. There's so many great phrases in this chapter. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach, and without the law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, and he was found by them. In those days, it was not safe to travel about, for all the inhabitants of the lands were in great turmoil. One nation was being crushed by another, and one city by another, because God was troubling them with every kind of distress. But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. When Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Azariah, son of Oded, the prophet, he took courage. He removed the detestable idols from the whole land of Judah and Benjamin and from the towns he had captured in the hills of Ephraim. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was in front of the portico of the Lord's temple. And then he assembled all Judah and Benjamin and the people from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon who had settled among them, for large numbers had come over to him from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. They assembled at Jerusalem in the third month of the 15th year of Asa's reign. At that time, they sacrificed to the Lord 700 head of cattle and 7,000 sheep and goats from the plunder they had brought back. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, with all their heart and soul. All who would not seek the Lord, the God of Israel, were to be put to death. I wonder what would happen if they implemented that law today. Whether small or great, man or woman. They took an oath to the Lord with loud acclamation, with shouting and with trumpets and horns. All Judah rejoiced about the oath because they had sworn it wholeheartedly. They sought God eagerly, and he was found by them. So the Lord gave them rest on every side. King Asa also deposed his grandmother, Maacah, from her position as queen mother because she had made a repulsive Asherah pole. Asa cut the pole down, broke it up and burned it in the Kidron Valley. Although he did not remove the high places from Israel, Asa's heart was fully committed to the Lord all his life. He brought into the temple of God the silver and gold and the articles that he and his father had dedicated. There was no more war until the 35th year of Asa's reign. This chapter is absolutely packed with great small phrases that speak to our heart about keeping our focus and our direction on the Lord. I believe that we can pull from this morning some points that will say this would help us to keep our focus. This is the kind of thing that's kind of like, what's it mean to drop anchor spiritually? What's it mean to lock into something? You know, you remember that passage of Scripture that says, fix your eyes upon the author and perfecter of your faith. That's what we're talking about. Keeping our focus, not drifting away from God, doing the things that it takes to do. And here's the deal, folks. I'm just going to tell you, Christianity is not automatic. You will not survive spiritually, not that we can do any kind of works to earn salvation. Can't do that. But let me help you to understand that you cannot maintain a close personal relationship with Jesus Christ without some intentional efforts on your part to carry on that relationship. It's just like a relationship on this earth. What would happen if you would say to someone, I love you, I want to marry you, and then you never spoke to them again the rest of your life? How good of a marriage would that be? What if you didn't spend any time with them the rest of the time after the wedding day? How intimate would that relationship be? I mean, come on, let's face reality. Relationships require some effort. And so there were some things when Asa realized that the Israelite nation had drifted away from God, there were some things that God laid on his heart and he began to put into practice that I believe can speak to each of us personally. Look at verse 8. He removed the detestable idols. He removed the detestable idols. An idol is a false god or an object of passionate devotion. We know that one of the warnings that God gave to the children of Israel when they occupied the promised land was do not mix and intermarry with the Canaanites, not because they weren't his creation, because he didn't love them, but because their faith, their worship, their religion, the object of their affection was different than Jehovah God. And he was saying, if you pledge your earthly temporal affections to someone, you're going to have a tendency to consider the things that they are important to them. That's a good way to have a good relationship, is to care about the other person. And he said, if you do that, they don't worship me. Matter of fact, the Canaanites had multiple gods. Virtually every other culture than Christianity has multiple gods. El was the father of all gods. Baal, which you've heard of often, was the son of El. And his close companion, he was a male god. He was the god of increase. He was the farm god. He was the storm god. So Baal controlled, get this now, Baal controlled the weather. And Baal controlled the ground. And so for the Canaanite culture, they worshiped Baal because everything about Baal was what brought increase to them. I mean, they're planting. They're croppers. They're putting stuff in the ground, and they're praying to Baal because they want it to come up and produce a good crop. Asherah was the female god that was most prominent, and they would erect wooden idols to Asherah because Asherah was kind of a fertility god. And this is I'm not even going to go there. They're covering all the areas of their life looking for productivity, and they're worshiping all these gods. They've got idols built up to them. So the question for us this morning is this: is there anything in our life? Is there anything in our life that is more important to us than God? Brother Ted, I'm going to ask you to flip to the air conditioning. I'm watching some people here, and so if we can flip that switch and the switch on the air mover to air, why, that'll help some of these folks. So at any rate, the question this morning is, what is most important to you? Is there anything in your life that you have focused your attention on to the extent that you're spending more time thinking about that or investing more resources in that than you are your relationship with God? We don't like to think about it this way, but if anything is in first place, it's an idol, unless it's God. Anything that's more important to you than God is an idol. You know, we read in history about people removing idols, and we think, I don't have any idols. You know, I don't have a Buddha, or I don't have any of those stone or clay or wooden objects that I worship. Could be your job. If you spend more time focused on work than God or your family, that could be an idol. Could be recreation. Maybe you spend every waking leisure moment doing all kinds of activities. You spend all your resources. You can't contribute time or resources to the church because you've spent them all out on other things. Becomes an idol. We have to give consideration this morning to what might be more important to us than God, and that thing, then we immediately need to surrender. We need to remove the idols in our life if we want to be close to God. The second thing is this, if you stay in verse 8, it says, He removed the idols, He also repaired the altar. Now evidently there was an altar that was kind of a public altar, it was in front of the temple, and people would go there and sacrifice, and because they had ceased to do that, they'd kind of gotten out of that habit. When Asa became king, what he did was two things. He physically made the altar bigger. He enlarged the altar, and then he directed them to offer more sacrifices. The idea here was that they were saying to God, you are more important to us than you have been in a while. We want you to know that you matter to us. We want you to know that we want to have a relationship with you. And so the altar is that place of sacrifice and surrender where the soul meets God on the basis of faith in Christ. And here's the deal. We know this to be true. Drift comes when intimacy with and devotion to the Lord are not maintained. I can just tell you right now, I know this, I wish I didn't know it, but I can tell you, if I'm not praying and reading on a regular basis, my attitude is worse. If I'm not praying and reading on a regular basis, I don't hear God as well. I get more tuned into my own agenda than God's agenda. And there's just some things that if we cease to be devoted, if we cease to sacrifice our agenda for His, if we cease to be surrendered to Him, then He becomes further away. We need to remove the idols, and we need to repair the altars. Make that place of sacrifice and surrender in our life more prominent as we walk day by day with the Lord. Remove the idols, repair the altar, and then it says that they sought God eagerly in verse 15. Now, there's some things that happened in the process of getting to that point. Let me just share with you. We're going to read through 10, 11, 12, and 14 here. Here's the first thing that happened. It says that in this process of coming to seeking God eagerly, that they assembled. You know, we live in a day and a time where people are becoming kind of displeased with the organized church. And fewer people are attending church service. But it says they assembled. The word assembly here is the ecclesia. That is those called out by God to hear from God. And it means those people came together in corporate accountability for encouragement and to receive a word from God. And let's face it, if we receive a word from God, what should we do? We got to respond. And if we think we're not making a response, we're making a response. If you don't respond actively toward what you think God wants you to do, then you're making a response away from Him. You can't not make a response. Everybody makes a response. They assembled and they sacrificed. It says in verse 11 that they sacrificed to the Lord. 700 head of cattle and 7,000 sheep and goats from the plunder they brought. So I'm thinking this is more than a little 10% offering. They took a massive amount of plunder that they had gathered coming through to this point and gave it to God. Said, hey, we got here by your power. You can provide for us at any point in time. And so they committed that to God. They sacrificed, which for us is the same thing as confession and repentance. When we come into God's house and we hear a word from the Lord, we have to respond to that. And the response, if we have not been doing that, the response is confession of our failure and repentance, which is to turn and to do something different. And God honors that. They assembled and they sacrificed. And then in verse 12 it says they covenanted. And then in verse 14 it says they took an oath. Now the difference here is this covenant is going on internally. When they received the word from the Lord and as they move forward in confession and repentance, then they're contemplating what's happening. God is within them occupying new territory. They're contemplating their relationship with God. It is a heart change. It's something going on inside of them. And then it says in verse 14 that they took an oath to the Lord with loud acclamation, with shouting, with trumpets and horns. That's public testimony. They made a commitment, and now they're saying, I want you to know. They were saying to each other, I've made a commitment. I'm taking an oath. You know, it's interesting, a thing that's happening in the church. It's increasingly more and more difficult to get people to make a move to an altar of prayer. People say, well, let me fill out a card. Don't stand me up. Don't ask me to come forward. Do something less objectionable. What did that guy say? What did Thomas say in that mission video when he got saved? What did he do? He started telling everybody. What is it with us that we don't want anyone to know that we're making any kind of decision? We're not gaining any kind of ground. There's not some new thing happening in our life spiritually. What has happened to public testimony? What's our problem? Are we ashamed of God? It's like, well, I don't want anybody else to know my business. Well, they don't have to know the details of what you're talking about, but it would be good for them to know that God's making a move in your life. It would be good for you to say, God's helping me and it's getting better and I'm excited about it. They made an external witness. And then in verse 17, we get to the real issue of this thing. Asa's heart was fully committed to the Lord. That's the deal. Asa was all out. If you go back through this passage of Scripture, you're going to find in there a couple of times where it talks about the people giving all of their heart or doing something wholeheartedly. The bottom line is the only way to be successful as a Christian is to surrender all of your heart to God. Not part of your heart. Not, God, I'd like you to have some influence on my life where I want you to, but stay out of the places I'm not interested in having you get into. It's a wholehearted surrender. It's a fully committed heart to God. Now, here's the great news. The benefits when we seek God in that way, when we're trying to not drift away from God, but we're doing everything intentionally to move toward God, here are the benefits of that. We find the peace of God. We get forgiveness and a clear conscience. We find the promise of God, help in time of need. We find the presence of God, comfort, strength, and righteousness imparted to us. And we find the power of God, the ability to make right choices and to stand against the enemy. Those are the benefits and the blessing of seeking God. We find Him. And all of His characteristics are passed on to us. Look back at verse 7. But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. No, we're not saved by works. We're simply saved because Jesus died on the cross and offered it to us. But the benefit of conscientiously caring about a personal relationship with God and doing the disciplines and the things that will help us draw close to Him, there are rewards to that. A clear conscience. Sensing God speaking to you. I've had some people say to me, well, God never talks to me. I don't believe He doesn't talk to you. Now, we may have trouble learning how to identify His voice and discern exactly what He's saying. I mean, all that comes with different things. But I don't believe for a minute that as a Christian, God does not speak to you. And I know it can be a struggle sometimes learning to discern those things. And that's part of the journey. It's part of growing up. And that's okay. But I promise you, as a Christian, God speaks to you. Do you ever know a parent who's never spoken to their child? If they love them. And when they love them, even if that child rebels and goes away, they try to find ways to connect with them. And I believe God is the same way. The bottom line is this Christian journey is not easy. It has to be done with effort and intentionality. And we're thankful for the mountains. You know, we're going to celebrate Easter, and pretty soon we're going to celebrate Pentecost, but there's those 50 days in between. And what are we going to do on all the regular days in between? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is still resurrected. So why can't we keep that intensity up? We're not going to be on the mountain every day. There's stuff that goes on. Things happen. And that's why we need to have an intentional effort at maintaining the relationship from our end. God's not going to fail on His end. So we need to do the things that we do to maintain and to improve that relationship with Him. Don't you like those stories where somebody's been married for 65 or 70 years and they just say, it gets better every day. That's a much better story than the guy who's been married for 10 and says it seems like 25. God wants us to be close to Him. God wants to be involved in our lives. God wants us to be blessed and successful, not necessarily in the world's terms. Always, as soon as we use those, it's kind of scary to use those words, because as soon as we use those terms in relationship to God and our spiritual life, we tend to think of it on earthly terms. And I'm just going to tell you, it doesn't always pan out that way. But when you're right with God, when you're in relationship with Him, you have all of the access to resources. And as we yield to God, we're just happy that we know we have peace. God wants to draw close to us. Janet, I want you to come and prepare to play that chorus again. And you can play that version, or you can play just the regular version, whatever's handy for you is okay. But I'm just thinking this morning, on the journey, in between the mountaintops of Easter and Pentecost, are all the regular days. And we need God every day. Do we have a tendency to get busy and to get distracted and to drift? You know, I hope you're not hearing them yet, but if you begin to hear the roar of the falls or the whitewater, you need to find something to latch on to. Find a place to anchor. Find a way to turn that boat around. Are you anchored today, or are you adrift? Draw me close to You. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear You say that I'm Your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. Because nothing else could take Your place. To feel the warmth of Your embrace, help me find the way. Bring me back to You. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know You are near. Wouldn't it be a shame to go out of this place today and not feel near to God? Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning, as Janet's playing this song, and as you're thinking about those words, draw me close to You. If you're here this morning, and this doesn't mean you're backslidden or lost or any of those kind of things, but if you're here this morning and you've been having a busy kind of life, and maybe you've been a little distracted, and maybe that distraction has created a little distance, and if you just know that you're not as close to God as you'd like to be, I'm not even going to ask you to walk down to the altar, but let's make a move in the right direction this morning. If you're here this morning and you'd just like to say, I just need a touch from God. I need a fresh touch. I want to be as close to God as I can be. Would you just stand where you're at this morning? Just stand where you're at. And if you're feeling good about your relationship, that's fine. That's not a problem. I'm not trying to make anybody anything. But if you're really here this morning and you've just kind of gotten busy and you just know there's some things you'd like to do, and you want to remove the idols and repair the altars and seek God eagerly. I mean, that word eagerly, that means with some enthusiasm and some intention. You just like to draw closer to God this morning. Just stand where you are. In a moment, we're going to pray together. Because I'd rather be anchored than adrift. That verse in Hebrews says, pay careful attention to what you have heard, If you go back to the beginning of the first part of 2 Chronicles 15, as the prophet spoke to Asa, this is what he said. He said, "Listen to me." That's about verse 2. Listen. Are you listening for the voice of God this morning? He wants to touch us. Father, we are indeed grateful for this day, for the opportunity to be in your house to worship you. Just like those Israelites of old, we've assembled today. And Lord, as we've assembled, we offer up our sacrifice of praise. Lord, we confess to you who we are and what our situation is. And Lord, we just ask you to work in our hearts and lives. And Lord, we're going to covenant. We're making a covenant in our heart that we want to be all we can be. We want to be as close to you as we can be. And Lord, by standing today, we're making a public testimony to you that we're seeking you. We're seeking you eagerly. And Lord, you said that if we seek you, that if we do the work, that you will be rewarded and that we'll find you. And Lord, we want those blessings of finding you, peace and power and presence. Lord, we want all those things. And so, Father, we are indeed grateful for this day. And in this moment, we covenant to you and we testify that we want to draw close. Lord, help us with our one for one and one. Help us, Lord, to have a hunger for you and your word. Help us to have a desire to see people come to Christ. And help us to get beyond our fears and inhibitions to share you with our world. Thank you for touching us today. We receive your infilling presence. Hear our prayers. Receive our confession. Meet our need. We believe you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We're trying to make a little transition and change today. And so as we prepare our hearts to go from this place, Brother Ben's going to help us to see our opportunities to serve and to do the kingdom work this week.